Welcome to the Hive With Us podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Martinez. Today we have a special guest, Jesse Jimenez.
How's it going, guys?
So Jesse Jimenez is a known jazz man who loves to play the saxophone, but he also does real estate.
I do.
We're going to talk a little bit about everything. How long have you been playing the saxophone?
I've been playing the sax for probably 25 years.
So I haven't had the pleasure of hearing him play completely in person yet, and I'm really saddened by that. He probably is going to pull out the saxophone, like he's probably in his truck downstairs.
It was an experience. It was dope.
Hey, you're not mic'd up. You can't be speaking in this interview, all right?
Yeah, I forgot. I'm not here, guys.
Anthony is not over there on the couch. This is just me, the cameraman, and Jesse. So don't mind Anthony.
He can't see
you. He's not a part of this conversation.
Can't even see you.
So for everybody here, Jesse is a big land man. So you've been in real estate for 6 years.
Yeah, 6 years, yeah.
6 years. Now, Jesse, we spoke a little bit in the car.
Yeah.
He's got his sales experience from being a car salesman.
Right.
How long were you in car sales?
So, total of 18.
18 years.
18 years, yeah.
So, there's good real estate people in car sales. So, if you're looking for a good salesperson, acquisitions.
Yeah.
They're all at car sales.
Yeah, car sales. I mean, that's a lot of people in real estate that I know. I mean, they started in car sales to some capacity, and some of them actually started even beyond that point, even like from the service department. They'll go from service department kind of learning that part of it, and then they'll just transfer into sales, because service and sales is right next to each other.
Okay.
And then they'll just kind of dive right into sales and then learn that part of it. And the service department is like a totally different animal than sales. Yeah. Sales, of course, you know, it can take a little bit to kind of get familiarized with the nuances with whatever you're trying to sell. But afterwards, I mean, you can run through it for years on end and be as successful as you can push it. I mean, you can make some really good money. Yeah. So I did that for about 18 years. And the last 4 years, I dipped into real estate.
Okay.
And I started with the idea of wholesaling.
Okay.
Right. And to do that, I said, well, I need to get my feet wet. I need to understand kind of what are the fundamentals of getting into that, with contracts, with clients, with laws, everything around it. So I said, well, I got to be an agent first.
Okay.
So I did that. I got my real estate license, and then by doing that, I also pushed my wife to do the same thing.
Okay.
So she's an agent just like I am, and we were kind of doing the same thing for a little bit, and then shortly after, I said, okay, well, let me dive into what I originally wanted to do, which is kind of wholesaling. And I did a couple of residential deals under my belt. I did a small little land deal after that. And shortly after, we came into a much bigger opportunity. And then we'll talk about that one.
We'll cover that in a minute.
Yeah.
So if you have listings, send it to Jesse. I'm just kidding. He probably hates that part of the job.
Now send him. I'll take them all, man. I'll take them all.
I always like messing with the agents, because most agents, like, they hate the listing side of it, and especially if you're like an investor side. Like, yeah, send me listings. Jesse loves doing showings.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. All day long. Just call me anytime. I'll be there. I'll be there. Is that the Michael Jackson song?
So I want to cover this too. So you said were you doing both car sales and real estate at the same time?
At the same time, yeah. So it was insane, dude. I will not recommend that part. But if you must, and that's the only way that you can make it work, then do it, because you just got to put yourself out there. But yes, it was a bitch.
Sounds painful.
Yeah, it was doing sales in cars. You know, making sure that you're taking care of those people while you're trying to do real estate and trying to tend to those clients as well. At the same time, sometimes I would get calls from a car situation, and then 5 minutes later, it's a real estate situation at the same time. And then I had to figure out how to do both. Yeah,
switch hats. Like,
right, immediately, and you had to do it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you just kind of have to learn how to knock it out.
So one thing I love about this is that it's never easy starting, and right. it's always painful. There's no quick, easy button into real estate, especially land, with its longer timelines. But how he did a bigger transaction. How many transactions did you do before that bigger transaction? We're going to cover that in a second.
So I believe it was five. So I did five of them, and I could have done more, but because I was so tied into with the whole car industry, it helped me back quite a bit.
Okay.
So I was kind of like weeding my way through, just kind of learning one after another, learning kind of the ropes and understanding what I shouldn't do. And I'm a guy that I tend to learn from the sidelines a lot.
Okay.
And it's not that I'm not a risk taker.
Yeah.
But I do calculate my risks as much as I possibly can, but I learn mistakes from other people as much as I can as well.
Ooh, that's a good one.
So that's one of the ticket things that I've sort of ingrained in my essence. It's like I want to be successful, but I also want to do it in a way where I can actually get to the objective, because the one thing that we don't have is making too many mistakes, because we don't have that much time.
Yeah.
Time is the one commodity that we don't have.
Absolutely.
Right? So we can't go back, try again and try again and try again and try again and try again 10 times over and do the same mistake. So
most people don't have that luxury.
Right. So, you know, I said, well, slow yourself down, learn from the sidelines a bit, get as much information as you can, and learn from the greats. Be around the best of people that you can and learn from them. Just yeah. absorb it all.
And here you are.
And then, bam. Hear me?
No, I think the power of your network, because you can fail a lot.
Right.
Very easily if you don't have the right counselors around you to guide you and point you in the right direction.
Oh, absolutely.
So I think it's definitely paramount too, especially you talk to people who are in front of you of where you want to go.
Yeah.
And that usually opens up that path to go where you want to go and follow their footsteps.
Right.
So a lot of people are like, oh, I'm going to be a trailblazer and start this whole new thing. And I'm like, don't do that. Find somebody ahead of you, literally follow their footsteps, and they'll guide you the direction they want to go, because you learn a lot without having to trip over everything that's in your path.
Right.
So it's huge.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to cover the big deal. What's the big deal that we're alluding to?
The big deal with the big deal?
Yeah, the big deal. So mind you, this is five transactions in as an agent.
Right.
While doing car sales. And this deal totally transitioned your whole life.
So going back to that, so five deals I did as sort of wholesaling.
Yeah.
While I was doing some other transactions as an active agent. So I've done a couple more in between that. But as the sixth wholesale deal, this came up with an opportunity with a client of mine, actually from Mercedes-Benz
really?
At the time. Yeah.
Okay.
And it was something that took probably about a year to kind of have it all pieced together. Prior to the execution of that deal, it was a conversation that started to where the client just came in and said, hey, my husband is possibly going to inherit a property that we don't know what to do with.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. So from that conversation, I said, well, what does that look like? I mean, what is this? And she said, well, I don't have the details yet, but I would like, because of your service with us and the rapport that I have with, well, she didn't say the rapport, but I'm alluding to that.
From the car side.
Yeah. So she basically said, because of our history with you, I'd like for you to take a look at it, since you're in real estate as well. And it's crazy because I had my real estate card next to my car business card at the same time. So I had a lot of people picking both cards at the same time. It was pretty cool. I was like double dipping, and they were nice enough to let me do that. But that was kind of how that started.
Okay.
And then every couple of months, every 6 months, she would come in for a service. They'd put a lot of miles, and I'd just say what's going on, how are you doing? Didn't really touch on the on that. Yeah, I didn't. I just left it alone. And then I remember the husband came in finally because he was really busy, and he said, "Hey, I think my wife told you about this situation." And yeah, I just inherited the property, and here's the address. I don't know what you think we should do with it. Whatever, whatever. And that was it. So it went from that stage to within 48 hours. I set an appointment with him. We went out to take a look at this property.
So what was it? How many acres?
It was about 112, 113 acres.
Okay, outside Austin?
No, within Austin.
Within Austin?
Yeah, it was within Austin, within the Austin perimeters. And so after that, we went out there, took a look at it, and you know, he said, "Hey, what do you think you can do with it? I mean, what? I don't know where to go from here.
Yeah,
I want to get rid of it, but I don't know what the next step is. And what do you think?" So I said, "Well, I don't know that yet. Give me a couple of days, and I'll get back with you with some options." So I did my due diligence. I talked to a couple of brokers, a couple of real estate friends, some land people at that particular time. And I did my due diligence as well in regards to doing sort of like a CMA, right? Okay. Just kind of going over what's around it, just kind of checking at other comps. And I gathered so much data, and I compiled it into a spreadsheet. I mean, I had a full presentation on this thing,
okay,
like from top to bottom. And then I said, you know, based on everything that I put together, I think this is a probable gauge on what the value of this property is might be coming up to. And he said, "Well, I think that'll work." And in his head, we were off by maybe less than 5% based on what he was already targeting.
Thinking, okay.
Yeah. So he said, I think that'll work. Let's go ahead and go with this." And I said, "Okay, well, let me see if I can find a buyer that can pick it up for that amount." So the next week we started kind of taking pictures, getting drone shots, putting everything together, just kind of sort of creating a campaign.
Yeah.
And after that, you know, I started, you know, shooting it out and doing a sort of a dispo thing on it. And
by yourself too, right? You're the only one working this deal.
So I was the only one working this deal just on my side. Yeah. I did have some help with the dispo. But as far as doing a JV on this, it was just all me.
There you go.
It was just all me. So that's basically what happened. We closed in about 45 days, and we captured a almost about a 3 mil net in that.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
So
I didn't hear the full story. I thought it was only one.
No.
That's crazy.
No, it was a little bit more than that.
No, that's a little bit more. That's crazy, man.
That's pretty good for a new guy.
No, that's what I'm saying. I really want to dig in on that. So you had no experience messing with big land. No idea. You got the seller their price. And this is what I really want to hit on, too. So you got exactly what the seller wanted.
Right.
You got the upside. You did all the work.
Yeah.
You figured out what to do. And I think this is one of the things entrepreneurs, you got to figure it out. No one taught you.
No, it's figuring it out. And it's... I believe everything happens. Well, number one, yes, everything happens for a reason. But I think everything has to come to the perfect timing and situation.
Timing situation.
Yeah, because there's a lot of deals that come together because of timing, situation, resources, and just it's just the right concoction at that same time.
Yep.
Without those variables, you don't really have much to work with. And sometimes you'll have a deal, you'll have it under contract, and it'll backfire because of other variables that you couldn't control. A lot of this, I will say that, yes, it was the luck of the draw. But right place, right time, with the right people.
The right relationship.
Yeah.
I think you solidified that relationship through
absolutely.
The car sales. So.
So all those things, you have to really, it's a slow, steady burn, as I say. slow, steady burn. Don't rush just don't rush it. Massage it as much as you can. If it's meant to be, it's going to come to be with the right situation. I mean, everything has to come to fruition as it should be when it does have everything that it needs underneath.
Yep.
That's it. Going back to that, it was like I said, like 30 to 45 days, and we were able to close that guy. So
amazing. That's such a crazy story. I think I commend you for the follow through and just the, because you did all that front end due diligence by yourself. And this is one of the things where, like, I think a lot of people need a lot of help, but there's people out there that can figure it out themselves. And I think this is definitely an atonement of you just figuring it out yourself, because there's a lot of nuances that come with land. Now that you've got more experience, you've completed that deal, you've done all the research, now we're looking at more opportunities.
There's certainly more in the pipeline.
But it's one of those things where, like, that one experience changed your whole life. You probably quit your job the next day, and you're like,
not really quite. It was probably a year after that
you kept your job for a year.
Yeah, I kept it for a year. You know, and I'll tell you why.
You're trying to roll the dice again.
Well, I mean, I think the car industry will have its perks, and one of the perks is going to be that your connection with those clients.
Yeah.
You never know what you can get in association with those connections.
Okay.
You know, it's like, again, it's you're killing two birds with one stone, because the guys that are in there, at least the clients that I was working with, they were at a sort of a you know, the caliber in regards to their finances. They were, you know, several tiers out of what the norm would be. And because of such, usually they had a massive real estate portfolio. Most of them did.
Can you tell what dealership you were working at the time?
So this was Mercedes-Benz in Austin.
Okay, so you're working at a higher end car dealership. So the caliber of people that are coming in, they can afford it.
Yeah. So they can afford that, and they have so much to talk about, right? They're business people, most of them, and they'll just open up. If you talk about something that they really like to, you know, even doctors, they come in. I mean, I'm not going to talk about anything biology or, you know, or anything of that sort with them. That's not my forte. But if I say, hey, what do you drive? Okay, we'll talk about cars. Where do you live? Okay, we'll talk about, you know, your house here, or maybe your house in Cabo or whatever. And then we'll, like, slowly get into real estate from there. How do you own any more land or any more properties? Do you have land? What do you have? Oh, no, I have this, that, and the other, and, you know, I'm about to buy this, and then we'll get into even more stuff. Mm. And it'll just open up a can of worms, and, well, I didn't know that you did that either. Let me let you talk to one of my other buddies, because he's trying to get rid of his, and
opens that up,
and then I'll talk to him, and then he has, it's like.
Did you get any other deals off of being a
customer? Oh, yeah.
Okay, wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was the biggest one, but. I had probably 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 others after that.
Wow. Okay. So I that makes sense why you'd stay in. And I think we spoke about that in the car, like getting car salespeople to switch over to the real estate and keep both jobs, because you saw a huge benefit.
There's a benefit, yeah. But to properly juggle them.
That's the best.
Where you are giving 100% to both
sides
is really difficult.
Really difficult.
It's really difficult.
So maybe a husband and wife spouse here. You kind of ticked on one side.
She was helping me for quite a bit on that. Okay. And now she opened up her irrigation company.
Okay.
And actually today is the first day that she announced it. So if you're watching this.
It's for you. Shout out for you.
But yeah, she's doing that. Her and her dad, they have like a little irrigation company going on. And he's been doing it for like 30 years. So he's passing down the torch. She's picking it up, and she's kind of roll with it. And they're both licensed irrigators, and she does backflow as well. Okay. And she's a realtor too, so helps me when she can. And we do a little bit of everything now.
Sounds like a cohesive relationship.
Except when she's pissed at me, then it's no longer cohesive. Then it's a bunch of pillow throwing and...
least it's a pillow.
At least it's a pillow, right? Oh, man.
So let's talk a little bit about new stuff that's working on. So you're now pivoting into larger transactions, because I think that's doing one of those, it kind of knocks out the fear of doing a larger transaction,
because right.
you figured it out. So you're doing bigger transactions now. Can you cover some stuff, anything that's working right now as far as like larger transactions?
Yeah, so we have, tentatively, we have a 50-acre tract that might come to fruition. That one's going to be, I think, on I-10. And that one is a couple mil in that one. So that one's kind of coming to fruition. And then I have one that's already out there, and that one is a 26.5-acre tract that's very close to Austin as far as kind of the centralized location. Matter of fact, it's down the road from the other tract that I sold. So it's same location. That one's a about a $3.5 million deal.
So one thing I really want to iterate is these deals are not fast.
No, to put them together, they're not fast for sure. They do take a little time. There's some of them you'll get lucky, and there's not a lot of variables that you need to.
The friction.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes you'll just have people that may want to get rid of a land that may have multiple heirs, or they may have issues with utilities that you got to figure out beforehand, or you know, something that says, hey, you know, you just got to wait a couple more months before I decide, maybe even a year, and just keep pushing. And sometimes they just last longer than that, but ultimately it's just follow up, make sure that you're there. And you know,
you kind of have to set the right expectations with your sellers too, because
right.
these things take a lot longer to just push across the line.
Yeah. The bigger they are, well, I'll take that back. Sometimes the bigger they are, the easier it gets, depending.
Don't tell people this, all right?
Depending if you know what you're doing. I've seen some bigger deals that are less complex than a regular residential deal. So
don't take that too lightly.
Yeah, that's one of our secrets.
No, what we're realizing that too is a lot of the bigger transactions, they have a lot more upside, so it's a lot easier to raise the capital for them. It's a lot easier to let the capital understand the timelines. Like if, and there's more upside. So if like, if you're somebody's putting $100,000 and they're possibly getting back 10 to 15,
yeah.
Like, hey, where's my 115 back? You know, I'm worried about it. Whereas if they put up $1 million and there's like $5 million upside, they're like, oh, let me know what's done.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean,
it's a different conversation.
Oh, totally. Absolutely. I mean, you know, if you're looking at a deal like that, I mean, if you're having a big payday, you know, in 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and you can wait it out. You're going to figure something out. You're going to wait it out.
Yeah, 100%. So let's talk a little bit about, I realized during this conversation, and we just had lunch together.
Yeah.
You wearing your Ranchlander hat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so Ranchlander is sort of a group that we've sort of put together here in Austin, and you guys probably see our buddy Rooster. So Rooster and I kind of put together this little group of investors that focus on land, ranch, subdividing, pretty much anything around land in of itself, mainly in the Austin area and, of course, other parts of Texas. But I feel that we are sort of the extension of Hivemind, and you know, collectively we are a group of investors that kind of do the same thing. You know, we put together this idea, or this, at least this name, to carry out a more, I guess, modern ranch kind of vibe to our group. Uh-huh. And you know, it kind of threw me back a little bit, because it almost reminded me of Yellowstone.
Okay.
In a series. It yep. kind of reminded me of that just a little bit, as far as kind of the idea that was taken on this. And yeah, so right now we're putting a podcast together. We're kind of doing a compilation of different content that we're gonna put in there. And you know, we want to bring in something that's a little bit more heavy on the day-to-day operations, kind of being out there, seeing what happens when you're walking land and when you're talking to sellers and things of that nature. And if we're getting chased by coyotes or chickens or hogs or whatever, it's going to be all in there. If we're going to, you know, be on the saddle as well and ride some ponies, and if we fall, it's all going to be in there as well. So we're going to throw as much content as we possibly can on that thing. It's going to be fun. But ultimately, we want to make sure that people know what we're doing and inform them, you know, of what can be done with land. So.
And I think one of the cool things about this, and like we've talked together, we've had lunch together, we've known each other for a long time, we've collaborated on different stuff, is that land is, there's so much opportunity. I can work with and by side Jesse and never cross him just because there's so much opportunity.
Yeah.
And in fact, we're probably sharing deals and sharing opportunities.
Yeah, more than likely.
And sharing it across to him. So it's such, land is very vast and a lot of opportunities out there. I think it's a very big blue ocean. And for us, we kind of stay away from the outskirts. And he's like, I'm in the heart of Austin.
Yeah, it's a different animal, man. I mean, and at some point, it's just, you know, you're going to find a stopping point in there, because you're not going to find these big tracks in central Austin for too long. It's all going to get
cut up and chopped up and
absolutely
turned into warehousing and apartments. And
yep, it's everything. Coming.
Everything. And that's the cool thing about land in general, the path of progress. So if you can find land in any like big pocket city inside the ETJ, it's going to be something, and somebody's looking at it.
Oh, absolutely.
And this is one of the things that we've noticed too, is that we picked up properties off the MLS, and like, hey, we talked to the engineer. The engineer's like, oh, I already worked that property. I saw it hit the MLS, and I started working on it and see what we can do with it. And he's just doing it for fun as a side project.
Oh, wow.
So. Like people just,
you just never know.
They're just bored.
Right. Yeah.
They're
bored
and they see something, they see opportunities, so they start working on it and creating what it could be.
Right.
And then there's probably hundreds of people out there like, oh, that could be something really amazing.
Everybody has their own story to tell with property. It's never the same. I mean, ultimately, I would say, you know, if you have the right piece of land, it's like,
10 people can have 10 different visions for it.
Totally. I mean, you can paint whatever you want as far as the outcome.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
That's the other thing I love about land is it's literally buying at the bottom, and you can kind of create and form your own future with it. It could be a high rise 100 years from now, or it could be a duplex for now.
You are your own Picasso.
Yep. You kind of create and mold whatever you want to make out of it. And as long as the numbers make sense, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, that's the key.
What is a quote that is yours or somebody else's that you resonate with?
Oof.
Got him.
Yeah, that's going to be a toughie. A quote. Might be able to snip this one out. Man, that's a tough one, man. I mean, there's let's see.
I mean, you can just make one up right now. It's like, buy more land. Buy Jesse.
I would probably say... Learn the best out of the flock that you fly with.
Ooh, okay.
Learn with the best. And I think that resonates. And the other thing, the other one that really, really, it just came in, is show me your friends and I'll show you who you are.
Ooh. There you go. This is dope. Well, thanks, Jesse, for coming on. For everybody here, go like, share, subscribe. Where can people find Ranchlander? It's a podcast.
Yeah, so Ranchlander YouTube. So YouTube/ Ranchlander, ranchlander.com. And then me, Jesse Jimenez, on Facebook, on TikTok, and on Instagram.
He needs a better Instagram handle since he's the Jazz Landman.
Yeah, I need to modify that. So that's coming.
Jazz Landman.
Jazz Landman, right? Put a saxophone on this thing.
Yeah, there you go.
That'll work.
His Instagram needs some help, so if you look him up.
Yeah.
He needs a better handle.
Yeah. We're going to work on that one.
We're going to work on it. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Thanks for watching. Like, share, subscribe. We'll see you next time.